Welcome to Totally Blitz Podcast. About to talk and break down UFC St. Louis, Derek Lewis versus Rodrigo Nascimento. As always, do not like and subscribe. Let us know how you feel about this card. It's a decent little fight night. Let us know what are your favorite bets or picks you got. As always, I'm Paul, pick and win them. And I'm joined with.
You already know, man. It's that workout, Water Boy Savoy, a.k.a. on Don P.Y., always known as the real science creed. And that shit was so funny because you don't understand. Like, he literally spent the last 3.5 minutes practicing that name. It was just like, I know I'm going to fuck it up. I know I'm going to fuck it up.
This is where it stops falls around boxing.
Damn, why you sound so sad over there?
Yeah,
bro. Oh, dude. Oh, my God.
That boy Gator got like baby mamas or something to say.
He made sure to hit me up on when we were recording the other episode saying like, make sure I'm Derek Lewis. I'm gonna be there. Derek
Lewis. Oh, fucking
No. I didn't mean to because I was sure. So I was like, no. Okay, I guess so. It's your boy, Southpaw Ryan Foxon.
Yeah, shit. There you go. That's how I like it. We're bringing good energy for a good little fight night card in St. Louis. No pay-per-view necessary. Derek Lewis is going to sell the show all by himself. I mean, this is a fun one. We got Joaquin Buckley on here. Carlos Ulberg, pretty big favorite against Alonzo Menfield. And Robesless Desperange, the fucking silver medalist taekwondo fucking killer that's been knocking everything out, that signed with the UFC a couple months ago. Chase Hooper, Terrence McKinney, Tabitha Ricci, my darling. Fucking my Charles Jones, Jared Gooden, Veronica Hardy. Like, honestly, you can close your eyes and pick a fight and we can talk it because they're all pretty decent matchups this card. How do y'all feel about this little St. Louis fight night?
I like it. I'm fucking with it. I mean, you have the beloved Tabitha Ricci in this book. I really want to see more Robelis. You got my cousin, Joaquin Buckley, your cousin, Alonzo Menifield, my dog, Alex Cassettis, like Chase Hooper, who's kind of on the hype train, kind of be getting beat up. Terrence McKinney, like you never know what energy he's coming with. There's a lot of hitters on here.
I like it. Yeah, I like this card.
Charles Johnson.
I like this card. It's like a bangers on him.
This is one of those like sneak up cards. Like, remember like that UFC Kansas City a couple years ago? And like this is one of those sneak up cards, like, oh shit, everybody pulled up. This is one of those, if you're in the St. Louis area, you should probably go to this. This is gonna be fun.
I wish this card was in Tampa. This would have been a phenomenal card to go pull up for. Like, this is
And my summer just started today, so like I would have been out there.
This is a really good card. Probably have some good bangers and good hitters on it. You know what I'm saying? Like Chase Hooper, the McKinney's, which they're both like hyped up, like guys who are supposed to be like next up champions, next stars, but they're both underdogs for these next fights, and that's kind of crazy to me. But the Queen Veronica, she's starting off the card, which is already a banger. Yeah, you got Jared Goody, Charles Johnson on this card.
Tell me about opening, because you was talking about she was the I don't know about Veronica Hardy. So the opening this whole card, Veronica Hardy, slight favorite against JJ Aldrich. JJ Aldrich been there, done that, UFC vet. Why should I? You make me feel like I should put the house on this little slight pick on Veronica Hardy. Like, why is Veronica Hardy like that?
You're not tapping with Hardy. You're not tapping?
Oh, I know Dan Hardy. Is this Dan Hardy's girl, daughter, sister?
Cousin.
I don't think they're related.
No relation.
But here's the thing, though. You know, she's young. She's young. Not young, but like young into her like career. And she's only been in it for like maybe 4 years ish, 4 or 5 years. And that's just like since COVID ish times. And that's when she lost. And she didn't really lose that fight. It was a split decision. And many people thought she won that fight. But she's a baller, you know what I'm saying? She's a She's kind of a decision machine, but if it came down to finishing, she could get it. She could choke you out. You know what I mean? Like she could choke the random person out on the side of the road if she gets into a shit fight. You know, don't get it twisted. She, you know, so she's that girl. She can fight. People think she's a boring fighter too. I don't think she's that boring. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
She can fight, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like let a random person walk up there and try. You know what I'm saying?
Took a peep at both of the girls. Veronica Hardy opened her UFC career 0-3. And since then has gone on and be like 3-1. One of them is a split decision that I don't know how much respect I'm putting on your unbiased take on her winning that fight against someone I really don't know. And I look at JJ Aldrin. And she's 3-2 in her last five, and one of her losses to Aaron Blanchfield, the other one, Andre De Silva, two hitters. And she has some solid names on her. I put my money on the underdog. I got JJ Aldrin to this. I got the UFC bet opening this bitch. I don't know, but Rocco, her 0-3 to why the Dana White keep her?
Bro, she's her more trusting
Like that
rookie.
power. I'm gonna see. I know I'm put. I might have to sprinkle something on Audrey, bro. Her one of her losses is to Aaron Blanchfield in her last five. Can't vault her on that.
Yeah, you really can't follow them on
And we move up slightly on this bitch. We got Charis Goodwin as a slight, not slight. He's a pretty big underdog against Kevin Gousset, the Frenchman. I don't know much about them. I know Jared Gooden. He's a fucking UFC vet. Not UFC vet, but he's the UFC newcomer. But he's coming off that submission win, and I think he's off the Contender Series or some shit. But he's a swole as hell. That's the only thing I know about Jay, is he was a swole as hell. I don't know much about this Kevin Gousset guy other than he's a big favorite Frenchman, which typically doesn't end too well, other than Ciryl Gondre. Hey, do you know anything about Jared Gooden? Or this Frenchman?
My gosh.
Because I thought I knew more about this French. I know he's 2-0 in the UFC, but other than that, I just know he's like undefeated. Like he's
Gooden, he's been losing, but I think he got a win this last fight. He has some momentum going his way. He fights really reckless. He's a really reckless fighter. He fights to entertain. So
Okay, so don't place any money on that +200 underdog.
I
Because
would not
honestly,
know.
he's one of the biggest underdogs on. Like, there's not many. Everything's almost a pick 'em on this bitch. Then moving up, you said it earlier. Terrence McKinney is a slight underdog, +140 to Esteban Rigovich, 12-1. This should be a fun fight because I mean T-Rex can wrestle, but he is a fan fighter. So Esteban Rikovic is known for throwing a volume combo. So honestly, this should be an exciting on the feet stand and bang fight. Could be fight of the night potential. I want to root for Terrence McKinney as a slight underdog, but everything's telling me don't fall for that shit. Like he's going up against somebody who actually is pretty solid competition. Just happens to be a young up and coming prospect. Just I'm not falling for the Terrence McKinney underdog trap.
Damn, to root for Terrence McKinney or to not to. Other dude is 12-1. Terrence McKinney, he's a year younger than Terrence McKinney. Oh, he looks like he throws more hands than the Terrence McKinney. Paul, you might be on to something. Do you know anything about how do you feel about your cousin Terrence McKinney, Gator?
I don't know, you know, and this is a really tough fight for him, you know, but he can get his name in the picture with a statement, with a statement here. He gets a good exciting knockout. He gets a lot of momentum. He calls out his name. You know what I'm saying? But he's an underdog here, and that's crazy to me.
It's not like the other guys did a lot. He's 1-1 officially in the UFC, so it's not like he's gone crazy.
Oh, he's only got. Oh, I'm thinking just like 6-0 in the UFC.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure he's still tweeting away, but I haven't seen him much time on recently, you know what I'm saying? Like, he tries to win all the fans on Twitter. He even admitted to it, but that cost him, you know what I'm saying? It cost him. He got kneed in the face. You know what I'm saying? Like, have y'all ever got, like, kneed in the face? You know what I'm saying? Like, it just seems so avoidable, but he gets kneed in the face and he gets knocked out by judo for it.
It sounds kind of painful. But my thing is with Terrence McKinney is that I'm not going to scream like it was the best competition, but he has won his last two fights.
Yeah, but it is not the best comp.
I'm not screaming the best comp, but like he has won his last two fights. Maybe this was a...
Come on.
Look who he fought. Come on, man.
I'm not confident, right? Just let you know, two first rounders. I'm just saying.
That might be
on team three, Rex. He might throw another third first rounder.
After that,
the guy has one win in the UFC.
Hey. I'm not the person that made the match. I'm just picking.
After that bullshit, we got to put on the Chase Hooper. Who is the slight underdog against Vaxislav Borshev? Vaxislav Borshev.
I feel like in his native language, his name is so gangster. Like, motherfuckers say that shit and then they be shook. Like, Corvish? Oh my gosh. Like, what?
Here because he fucking got to draw his last fight instead of taking the L, but points got taken away from the Sedukov or whatever.
Oh, I don't remember this fight, but Chase Hooper, man, isn't he from like Missouri or something like that? Like some like in the cut.
I don't know where Chase Hooper. He might be from Missouri.
I feel like I'm either close or way off.
Check his bio. I gotta go check.
Must be from like St. Petersburg.
He is from Washington.
That's such an interesting state. But Chase Hooper has been killing the game. Every time I watch him fight, he does pretty well. He does pretty great. I think I have to pick Chase Hooper because like anytime I watch a fight, it's pretty spectacular. But how do you think this goes down, Gator?
I like Chase Hooper, you know what I'm saying? He has a funny character. But here's the thing, though. One of my homies actually changed him sometimes and was able to take him down. But Chase Hooper, when he's fighting someone who's closer in the odds with him, he kind of fumbles, you know what I'm saying? Like that loss against Garcia showed it. So I'm actually gonna take the favorite because Chase Hooper's the underdog in this fight. I'm taking Vitaly.
Yeah, you said as good as the next guy. I mean I might as well take Hooper as well just because the other guy just
I'm taking the other guy.
You know, you're taking Borshev. Borshev, he's all stand up. Hooper is a renowned BJJ artist. If Hooper can take it to the mat, I think he can get the submission or at least control time and get the and win some rounds that way. But it is all these fights are picking for a reason. They're kind of done with Hooper and Terrence McKinney as these so-called prospects. Like that's why they're putting them in with 50-50 fights. It's like sink or swim at this point. They're done with you.
Facts.
The real prospect on this card, the best prospect of this card, silver medalist Taekwondo. We all know the accolades. Robizlis, Desperange, pretty big favorite. It's only getting bigger and bigger as we get closer to the fight. It was like 180. Now it's minus 245. He's taking on 11-1-0 Waldo Cotes Acosta, who is a pretty solid UFC striker his own right. His only loss is to Marcos de Lima. But, I mean, he's a prospect also. So, like, they're kind of putting – I mean, not really a prospect. He's 32. But he was the guy that was supposed to be on the nerf, slowly building him up, having him fight the older vets, all that stuff, the same gimmick. And now they're saying, here you go, second fight in the UFC, you're gonna fight that. You now you gotta fight Waldo Costa. I mean, I'm Team Desperange all the way. His striking's elite, knocks everyone out within fucking a minute or less, and almost all his fights so far in MMA. You're going in there with another UFC striker, and I think we're gonna get similar results. Unless Waldo showed me a side of him that I've yet to see with some wrestling.
Desperado is fun, his debut is exciting, and they're already testing him with a, they're already testing him with a decent fighter. I wouldn't say he's like too elite, but Costa, he's pretty decent. You know what I'm saying? He's kind of dangerous too. So this is gonna be a really interesting fight. I like this fight a lot.
I got De Lima to get a finish. Not De Lima, I got Desperon to get a finish at like -120. Damn near pick 'em odds, but I think that's fucking a lock. If you're gonna stand and bang with someone that's on an elite level and heavyweight, like this isn't the lower divisions where you can skate your way to this decision. It's like if you let yourself bang with him, 6'7" monster, you're gonna get knocked out.
Oh yeah, he's a killer. Straight up and down, like nothing more, nothing less. And I think the UFC knows that. And they're just gonna keep putting like trees in his way. He's gonna keep chomping them down until he runs into like the scary killer range.
Yeah. Good test for a second fight in the UFC, though. And then next fight at featherweight, Alex Caceres, pretty slight big underdog, +175. Sean Woodson, -210. This should be a striking fest as well. Potential fight of the night in both these guys. Both guys do tend to go to decision a lot. Not saying that they don't have the power to knock you out, but this could be a 3-round slugfest, which could be very fun. Woodson is pretty big favorite here, though.
Nah, man, I got my dog Bruce Leroy on the down. I love his fighting style, and he's just one of those fighters that you kind of gotta love. So like, I'm taking my dog Bruce Leroy to see if he can make something shake and make it work to get the dub in this one.
I'm going Alex. I'm going Alex because here's the thing. Okay, I don't know too much about either of these fighters, but I'm going Alex because he's
Well, Sean Woodson, remember Terrence McKinney was on the Contender Series? Like his
Yes.
he got knocked out. This is like 2019. Sean Woodson's the one that knocked him out in 2019.
Yeah. Oh, I actually, yeah, I'm gonna change my pick. Actually, I like this guy. I'm gonna change my pick.
He's lean.
Well,
He's
here's the thing.
got
I, at
long
the
arms. He's no
time, at
Kyle
the time, I
McCrone.
really like McKinney. I really like McKinney at the time. You know what I mean? That's probably the hidden thing. But yeah, I used to be a big fan of him.
He's coming off a split decision win over Charles Jourdain, which was a really close fight.
Was.
His only loss was to Julian Arosa, and this was by submission. Arosa's a pretty solid ground fighter, and that's just like that was his one weakness. He's just not that good on the ground. Really good striker. He's long and lengthy for the division, so he kind of can do that Sean Strickland type stuff. But he got a little bit more pop, and Caceres, this is gonna be kind of fun. It's like I don't know who really to win. My favorite bet on this is for it to probably go to decision. I don't know what the odds that on that is, but I think this fight goes all 3 rounds and it's gonna be fireworks. Give me Sean Woodson though if I had to make a pick. Then at lightweight, this is another one of them lightweight demons. Martez Rybicki, 19-1, -550, biggest favorite on the card. Against Diego Vieira, Ferreira, and 39 years old. He's been around forever. We haven't seen him since last year. He got a knockout win. He's has multiple PED scandals throughout the years in the UFC. A lot of people do not like this guy. Trainer got into it with Paul Felder on our media a couple of weeks ago because media he said stop talking about my fighter like that. Da, da, da. But I don't know. It's all this extra stuff. He is still here at 39 years old. They're defeating him to a up-and-coming killer, 19-1, Mertesz Rubicki. Big favorite for a reason. Southpaw throws a lot of hands, shoots a lot of takedowns. 4-0 in the UFC, two submissions, one knockout. Honestly, I got him, and I got him by finish. Like it's any, and I'm not gonna tell you how he's gonna do it because he it's gonna be however he wants to.
Yeah, one thing the UFC does not do is take care of their old. They put him in a position to die in the ring to this weekend.
PED scandals too. Yeah, it's not like they fuck with him.
Yeah, they gotta get rid of him, bro. They got PD scandals, you know what I'm saying? All this extra stuff. They're trying to get him out of there, man.
You gotta go one on one with the Undertaker player. Then news the, from the land down under, New Zealand's best hitter, Carlos, or is Australia? I get mixed up. Carlos Ullberg -280. I wanted this guy to fight Victor Petrino, Brazilian's best light heavyweight. Before Victor Petrino got guillotined by Anthony Smith. But Carlos Ullberg, 10-1, taking on Alonzo Menfield, my cousin, +230. Ullberg is a big striker, but that boy's an athlete. He's kind of built. Alonzo Menfield built though too. I mean, even if it's a gun show, Alonzo Menfield might be biggest gun in show.
I hate him. Wait,
This is gonna be
wait,
fucking.
wait, wait. Which one's the cousin?
Alonzo Mesa, the star.
Alonzo, you don't
Wait,
see
who
the
else is?
resemblance? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. Alonzo Menafield is a big, strong motherfucker. So, like, this is about to be a battle of titans.
But and Uber is just like he got those. Look at his UFC pick. He got a fucking 12-pack. I don't think I've ever
These
seen that.
motherfuckers are not jokes. Like, this is what makes this card is low-key way deeper than it, like, to the naked eye would perceive.
That he had in the UFC, but he's had one decision. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, one decision. Other than that, he's three knockouts, one in the submission in his last four fights for Carlos Ullberg. He's 33 years old. He's averaging 7.5 strikes per minute for a light heavyweight. Absolutely nuts. Alonzo Menfield put him back to 3.9, and we call him a wild volume striker too. But 7.29 for Ullberg, like this is gonna be, I think, Friday. I'm throwing out Friday nights everywhere, and that is the Prince Spire. I think there's gonna be this card is like Kev said, gonna live up to like unknown, unsung heroes, like banger after banger. Got nothing to lose.
Yeah, this is one of those things. Like, Dana were to raise the fight of the night bonuses on a card like this, I promise you would see a lot of people play go all out.
All that being said, it's gonna be, someone's going to sleep.
Facts. Facts.
I got that much right. That's all I know.
I want to take Benefield, but like it's my mind's telling me my mind's telling me Oldberg and my heart's telling me Benefield. So like I'm gonna listen to the mind, and I think I'm gonna take Oldberg because he's just been on a tear like crazy.
Just like Victor Petrino got caught in the guillotine. I think Alonzo Menfield gonna hit Ullberg with a mean one. From send that boy back to the land down under. Somehow we do it stateside. Stateside. That boy Alonzo Menfield about beyond demon time. Hopefully Joaquin Buckley can keep the train going. But yeah, Alonzo Menfield with the Alabama sledgehammer KO.
Alabama sledgehammer.
Yeah, I'm going big. Morning, man, feeling, man.
Big benefit. I feel like y'all two have agreed on everything, and I've been by myself, like on all these picks this game.
I woke up one day and realized I didn't hate as much as Gator. So then I had to hate more. And now it's just, I think we're tuning at the same frequency.
We call that the Kendrick effect.
Then Joe, the guy who petitioned at UFC 300 to Dana White to put him on to the main event because this is his hometown. Dana White did not. Got him the co-main event status. Joaquin Buckley is slight favorite against Nursultan Rozenblyev. And honestly, I don't think he was the favorite when I checked this about a couple days ago. I think it was the other way around, but similar odds. So it's fluctuating still at a pick'em. Buckley, I think, has found a home at welterweight. I think he's looked the best so far at 170. He's finally figured out what's his weight class. Now it's this. Does he, can he put enough wins together? I know he's on three fight win streak right now, but like this is his real test. Like the other guys were kind of, don't want to say pushovers, but like Andre Vallejo was never going to go win a championship or anything. Not saying that this guy will, but this guy has been fucking dominating. Bro, go look at his last, this guy's, I know they weren't in the UFC, but he hasn't lost since 2019, right? He's 2-0 in the UFC, both first round finishes. But before that, he was on like a 10-fight first round finish streak. So like this is gonna be, Buckley's going in there with a guy who knows how to bang. He knocked out Dumas after an eye poke that the ref didn't see, and then he went in and knocked out Sadiq Dumas in their last fight. But not his fault the ref didn't see it. Like, you go and do, like, he went in and finished that shit. But Buckley and him, this is a great clash. Like, stand-up fighter. This is Buckley's round. It's just who's the better man tonight.
I really like Buckley. He's really exciting to watch, man. He has some awesome KOs. He always goes with exciting fights. So, yeah. That being said, give me Buckley by that big giant hammer fist KO. I'm talking about some that nasty KO. This is going to be a really nasty, violent fight.
Nice. So it's Terrence McKinney is Gator's cousin, and Alonzo Menafield is Paul's cousin. Joaquin Buckley is my cousin. So, like, I got Joaquin Buckley because, one, he just knows how to have, he just knows how to be electric. Two, when he's focused, locked in, and he's landing his strikes and not doing no extra shit, he looks great. And three, fuck him. But this other dude is a perfect matchup for him, so it's going to be dangerous. And I'm hoping that the home field advantage is what gets my dog of Joaquin Buckley that extra to be like, nah, I'm finna dish out more than I give him, more than I take back.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kev, but I gotta go with Nursultan. Like, not only is he a stand-up guy, but like he does have a good submission game. He got 12 knockouts out of his 34 fights, 20 submissions. He's seasoned for a guy that's 2-0 in the UFC. Like, he kind of came in the game late for the UFC, but he's been seasoned everywhere else. He does train at Renzo Gracie up in Philly, so. Like, BJJ go crazy. Honestly, I think it's going to be a fun fight, but I think eventually he might shoot a takedown and to submit Buckley if shit start getting a little rough on the feet. I know Buckley's solid on the ground himself. I'm not trying to disrespect him, but I just think this guy's a little different when it hits the mat.
Hey, Les, we're going to see.
Then main event, the big homie from Houston. Derek Lewis, minus 170, taking on Rodrigo Nascimento, plus 140. Derek Lewis was candidate and I believe winner of our 2022 Worst Fighter of the Year award, because he went and it was all three by bad losses. Like the Spivak, Sergey Pavlovich, tied to Avassa knockout submission. But then he KOs Marcos de Lima with a fucking flying knee and had everybody back on his side. Since then, he went five rounds with Jayton Almeida, lost that fight. And here we are where he's slight favorite against younger heavyweight prospect. Not younger, he's 31, but heavyweight prospect Rodrigo Nascimento, who's 11-1, who's trying to get that big win on his resume to bring his name into up the ladder. Nascimento has fought Marco. They have a similar opponent, Marcos de Lima. Derek Lewis knocked him out. Marcos de Lima beat him in 3 rounds. MMA math ain't real, but I just had to point that out for some of y'all.
I mean,
They've been trying to get rid of Derek Lewis, bro. That's probably what it is, bro. They've been setting him up nasty for these after fights, bro. They've been trying to get him out of here for some reason. I don't know why they hate Derek Lewis so much. They've been embarrassing him in their hometown. They know he can't fight in his hometown. So why do they keep doing that? You know what I'm saying? They're doing this on purpose. They have a gym against the UFC. The UFC has a gym against Derek Lewis. I don't like it, bro. You know what I'm saying? They got to give him at least a winnable fight, because no, nobody wants to see Derrick Lewis getting knocked out all the time. It's depressing, you know? We all live for his legendary post-fight interviews after the victory.
So I think
Yeah.
he's gonna knock him out. Honestly, I think Nascimento, Derrick Lewis about the fucking they are trying to they're not giving him the easiest fights, but I don't want to say this is an easy fight, but Nascimento is not the best striker. He's a good BJJ, but he's not the best wrestler. Like you got to be a pretty good wrestler to get Derrick Lewis down. Derek Lewis is gonna get right back up. He'll stand right the fuck back up, and there's some on some bullshit.
Oh
And
yeah, BJJ doesn't exist.
yeah, so I don't think he's gonna be able to strike with him for 5 rounds, and that's gonna be the other key component. I think round 4 and 5 is where Derek Lewis, even at 39 years old in heavyweight, is gonna have this. He's gonna be more experienced, have a little bit more cardio because he knows he's gonna have to save himself for a little bit. But I don't think. I don't think it goes that far either. I think Derrick Lewis probably finishes him, but I like Derrick Lewis here.
Yeah, I'm taking Derrick Lewis too. Obviously, I'm a Derrick Lewis fan. I feel like he'd have made the turnaround, the comeback since him being voted worst fighter of the year. But he's just electric, and he has something he doesn't. And I think the biggest difference between Derrick Lewis during his losing streak versus his recent wins is that he's realizing that he has to come in, he has to be creative and come with something different to the table. So though he can come in there and stand and bang with you, he has something in his trick, like his bag, his back. He has something in his bag now to counteract fighters now. So I think this is what it goes. This is gonna be something that doesn't go past the second or third round. But when he gets it done, he's gonna pull something out of that bag.
I know you was rooting for him, Gator, but did you actually you think he win it?
Yeah. Yeah, Derrick Lewis, you know, from Derrick Lewis, his gas tank doesn't go past 3 rounds because he doesn't want to go past 3 rounds. So he's gonna end it early.
But he probably
Derrick
told Dana
Lewis.
White himself, yeah, just let Buckley get the 5 round fights. I'm cool with the co-main.
Yeah, so yeah. But yeah, Derrick Lewis, he gets it done early.
Yeah, hopefully by knockout. But hopefully they don't like he gets this and they're like, all right, now let's you gotta go fight Sergey Pavlovich again at some bullshit. Like, that boy
That's
leaves me
tragic.
freaking. But we appreciate everyone for watching. Go down, like, subscribe, comment your picks for all these fights, your bets, your parlays, any of your best bets. We'd love to hear them. As always, I'm Paul Pick 'em, Win 'em. Kevin Waterboy Savoy, Southpaw's Unboxing, Jamari. And if y'all didn't know, now y'all know, motherfuckers.